is Upfront on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, considered one of the top music producers in Africa, Bujingo Ndanga Patrick has been at the helm of the East African nation's contemporary musical evolution. However, in the past couple of years, he has stepped back from producing hits for the club to producing and curating an album that revives Rwanda's pre-colonial soundscape. In a wide-ranging conversation, Bujingo tells me that the project is the culmination of years of meticulous research and fieldwork as he traveled across the country to locate and record mostly elderly musicians, the last living custodians of these ancestral sounds. He tells me that his intention was for the album to capture the sonic soul of Rwanda before colonial influence reshaped its musical identity.
My new project is called Indanga. Indanga, which is also from Inanga. The idea was from Inanga. Then there's also Kuranga, Indanga, which is in our language, Kuranga. It means identifying. So Indanga was, I felt like it was a project that needs to identify our music, our sound, according to what I listen to now. We don't have like our original sound as Rwandans. So I felt like I wanted to focus more on finding the right sound. And Indanga means, there's two words, and there's Kuranga and Inanga. Inanga is our traditional instrument, a traditional harp. And that one inspired me to do this music of traditional music, because our music is based mostly on that instrument. And there is Kuranga, means identifying. I wanted to identify also the music, the sound that I'm doing. And luckily, I'm also called Indanga. So Indanga has like a lot of meanings. So it's a project that is tend to recover the some sounds that are really getting lost. We're losing some sounds with modernization, which is good, but I felt like there was a way to keep our sound and make it really updated without losing its value. So I went down to track and to learn a lot about our sound. And I've been finding we have a different sound. I've been hearing people say we have different sounds from different places. And I didn't know how to track those places. I felt like I need to go around and first listen to how they sound. And that the project was to learn, but now it's more also to archive, to make some recordings. And because during my journey on the study, I've been recording some people, but after a few months, I could tell some people are passing, because the old people we have who still have the culture, some are passing. So my really initiative was to go look for them, find them where they are, because they never had a chance to come to studio. So I take my studio over there, try to see, to record them
in their environment, in their natural habitats.
Before, I used to bring them in studio, but they don't feel comfortable and they feel like real disconnected from themselves. And I try to let them do what they do, and may I arrange myself on finding how to get that sound without taking them out of their comfort zone.
Capture the quality sound.
Yes.
So how did you select the regions and the musical traditions to feature on the album?
So my grandpa used to tell me I'm from Chinyaga. And then I was like, what is Chinyaga? Because when I was born, it was called Chiangu by then. And some people know it as Lusizi, now it's called Lusizi. But I tracked how pre-colonial, how did we call ourselves?
Mm. Pre-colonial boundaries.
Pre-colonial boundaries.
And regions, yeah.
And the regions. I used those regions. And I went to Kinyaga, to Gisaka, to Nduga, to, you know, those. I really took a map and I could tell where now Gisaka was located, and now it's Chirihe. You know, I went there and tried to ask old people who know the culture, who really are from there. They've been connecting me to some troops who can deliver the right sound of that real region. That's how I've been able to track those regions and reconnecting that. But also, on the borders, we have some regions that speak their dialects or other languages even. Like on the east, we have Avarashi, they speak Ikirashi, which they share with some people from Tanzania. And from north, there is...
So when these borders were created during colonialism, they separated people.
They separate
who
people.
Have joined, who share language and culture and traditions.
It's the same in like in Kenya, the Maasai were in Tanzania, but when they did the boundaries, so some part of the Maasai went in Kenya, other part of the Maasai left in Tanzania. Mm. So, but still they are all Maasai, it's the same culture.
Absolutely.
Same with us, like some people from Changugu, most of them were, they have the culture from Bukavu, where they tend, because it was Rwanda before, and they share some culture, some language, like a Mahavu is spoken in Congo, but also in Irusizi. And then there is some Ruchiga spoken in Uganda, Kabare, but spoken also in Rwanda and Gichumbi. So I'm also tending to reconnect people through music, but without boundaries, like cutting those boundaries musically. Mm. Like they can stay there, I don't know, a mind, but musically we should stay connected and listen to what our sisters used to us to listen to.
Yeah. So what was your process of identifying or researching some of these musicians, the older musicians or elder musicians or artists who contributed to this album?
So it's as eventually, but I first think I thank Sophia Nzaisenga, the woman who plays in Anga. She helped me to identify some places with some artists. And she really helped me a lot to understand the Rwandan music as well, because she was the first woman I saw. In 2007, I had a chance to record some of her music, but by then I was really young and I was not really connected to Rwandan music. But at a certain point, she was like, you are the only person who managed to record my music and try to add some more instruments into Inanga. And before, people thought Inanga could not get along with other instruments.
Mm.
So the idea of her keeping
so
me
you,
in mind,
at the time you created a fusion project.
A fusion project, but I didn't know what was going on.
Mm.
That was like 20 years ago. So now recently when I was working on a project, I called Sophia again. I was like, we can redo what we did. And then I understand more, then she explained even more. Then she was like, next time go to this place, you will find these people. Go to this place. And also, when I go to those people, they will tell me, go to this place, you will find these people. But the
crazy it was part, word of mouth, really.
Yes.
They were helping you identify.
But the crazy thing is, like, there was no contacts. So they would just say, go this place, look for a certain troop of people called like this. I would take my car and I go, spend day asking, you know, go meeting them. It's a fun thing because I also wanted to learn to live, you know, to live, not only doing work, but also living me, also fulfilling my spirit, knowing who I am, people who are my brothers or my sisters. It was good. It was a journey.
Basically part of a shared musical legacy that, you know, you understanding yourself in the process also, you know.
Very true.
Who is Kagurano? Where did he come from?
Yes.
Where do you get this gift from? And who are the people that you share that gift with?
Yes. Yeah. And then the crazy part, sometimes say, in here, Rwanda, those troops, they call it Amatorero. And then I found myself, called myself Pastor P. So those are Itorero for Pastor P. Me, actually, I'm not from the churches. Those are my churches.
Yeah, that's your church.
That's my church. And I identify myself as one of them because those are our choirs. You know, Rwanda, I feel like Rwanda is like a church.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have choirs from those people. Those are our choirs.
That's interesting.
Because we have the same spirit, even though we think different styles.
Let's talk a little bit about some of those musical styles and instruments. Can you describe some of them, the regions that they represent? For example,
mm-hmm.
I personally thought of the Inanga as the only traditional instrument that is part of our musical repertoire. But I see that in this project you have other instruments.
Yeah, so there's, whenever I go to a place, I find something new. Like in Gisaka, they don't use drums. We normally do drums in Rwanda. But for them, they use something called Igichuba. Igichuba is like...
A god.
Yeah,
a chord. Yes.
Yeah, that's what they will use for as drum. They don't do drums. So they were like, you know, drum is not part of our what, you know, they tell me. So I thought everyone would play drum. So also in Nanga, it's there. Oh, you find it almost in all part or roundabout. It's played differently. Like people from north, they will play different from people from south, according to the culture and the music, the style they tend to bring it to. But we have in Ingiri, it's like a violin of one string. Mm. Then we have there's some create, like there's Ishobere, I don't know how to explain it. It's something they create, they put into the plastic bottle, but when they play it on top, it has a sound in the bottle. You know, I will maybe have a way of documenting.
Then there's a thumb guitar that I saw.
Yeah, there's a thumb guitar that called the Ichembe. Ichembe we have it. And we have Umuduri. Umuduri is like, I don't know how to explain it. The thing with the, with one string, but with another string.
Yes, you know, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, so we have quite different. And then the good story is like, I'm right now on the journey of doing some documentaries that all these things we're sharing could be also, could have images. Mm. So those instruments, I'm tending to put them also on a platform where they can be also used as music, because they left them, they no longer use them, they only use, they try to use only modern music, piano, guitar. So I'm trying to also to see how to synchronize them with them new sound, because sometimes they be only be played, they are limited the way they play it, but there's a way of developing it and then play it along with other instruments.
Mm.
So I will do the documentary on our instruments. Maybe some people get even inspired to make the innovation on the instruments, not only me, you know. Some people, if they find out, you know, this is, I think like I'm a vessel, just something is going through me musically that is going to help other Rwandans.
And other generations.
Other generations.
Yeah.
And coming to that point, only small, it's when I started this, I'm the generation ahead of the generation of musicians today we have. So this young generation, they have been telling me, they have been looking up to me. And I felt like, what am I leaving to them? I've been doing music only without any purpose, like as business.
Entertainment.
Yeah. So I was like, let me now do edutainment. Mm. Let me go to education and educate myself, do something that they will inherit, that will help our music to have a legacy.
I love it. So what are some of the musical styles that are represented in these different regions? So we talked about the instruments.
Yeah.
What about musically? How do these different groups or different regions represent or fit into the musical catalog of Rwanda?
First of all, we have one common style that everyone knows, the one with the hands. The one, it's the one we share as Rwandans, we all know. But some people, they in their real culture, because when we do this, we refer to cows. But some people, they refer to agriculture or something, or some they used to be hunters. So the music is tend to according to the daily routine life.
Mm-hmm.
If they like to,
so the economic activity of the region.
Economic activity of the region. If they like to cultivate, the song will be more about cultivating energetic.
Mm-hmm.
If it's about cows, they be more mahamba, like chill, just singing, not really, really hard. So it depends also the economic and the region, what is really the lifestyle over there. The music, and then music is part of the biggest thing, because every activity has song. Every song has a history, like if they are singing for not only wedding, not only naming baby, everything has a song and a theme and a story. So song is a part of a big part of the culture.
In case you're just joining us, welcome. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. We are chatting with Bugingo Ndanga Patrick, who also goes by the stage name Kagura Norgwimo or Pastor P, We're chatting about his new album titled Indanga. We have more on this conversation, but let's take a quick break and hear from you, our listeners, on the question of the week, which was, given that Africa has some of the highest numbers of youth unemployment, what would you do? That is, if you had the ability and the power to do so, how would you resolve the issue of youth unemployment? This is what you said.
My name is Immaculate from Kampala, Uganda, of course. Some of the solutions that I would provide to cap down unemployment would mainly be empower job creators, more job creators than the job seekers, because there are so many educated people and yet unemployed. And then you find them going into businesses. However, not all of them are capable of having the capital to start businesses or even own them.
Okay, my name is Opetum Philbert. I'm a Pan-Africanist. If I was an authority and I'm a leader, some of the things I would introduce which will reduce unemployment in Africa, I would introduce hands-on skills to my youth, and the education system of Africa has to be changed. I would make sure that we must believe in ourselves, utilize our resources.
St. Peter Robert, to create more companies and factories so that we youth we can get more jobs, and so that we can change our life. They can first fight corruption. After fighting corruption, that's when people can do what? Can get, I think, more jobs and interested things.
Many thanks to all of you for sending in your opinions on our question of the week. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Let's continue with our conversation with Rwandan producer Wijingo Ndanga Patrick about his new album, Indanga.
Did you discover or encounter any regional dialects or forgotten languages that, you know, added another layer of complexity or significance to the music?
Yeah, somewhere, but I would not say it's forgotten or ignored, but Rwanda has a really history, like, which is unique, I would say. After the genocide against the Tutsis, our unity was the only way to get together and then to be one. And then we really achieved to be one and to love each other. But we are at this point where, so whoever you are, what do you have, can you bring on the table? Because we are like a body. Which part of the body are you? Are you the arm? Are you the leg? Are you the head? So we in that, I'm saying it musically, you know? Because musically, we used to do our music, but to entertain people according to where they're from, you need to understand what they do. So the dialects was part of the culture, because the dialect connects to the, as I said, the borders. If they, like in Rusizi, we have the people from Ngombo. It's an island, it's a Rwandan, but their cultures tend so much to be Congolese, to sound like Congolese. Their language is called the Amahavu, or dialect, if I say, but it is spoken in other regions of Africa, in Congo, you know.
Is it in any way similar to Kinyarwanda?
It has nothing to do with Kinyarwanda. Mm. Those ones I'm saying, because there is Ikirera, Ikigoyi, but those are similar to Kinyarwanda, but with different accent to the only few words. Mm. But like this one is a particular completely another language. The Rukiga from Gichumbi from the north is a completely another language. The Kirashi from east is a completely another language. So on the south, it's not really, really different, because it's close to Burundi, and Burundi is somewhere like Kinyarwanda. So the Kinyarwanda is just the accent that changes.
So exactly. So again, I guess what I want to ask also then, based on that, is it possible that Kinyarwanda is a grouping of these different dialects that constitute each Nyarwanda? You know, like say the people that live on that island.
Yes.
They speak a different language, yeah. But could it be possible that it is part of the Ikinyarwanda? I mean, I'm not a language specialist measure.
No, but every Rwandan speaks Nyarwanda. Even those people speak Nyarwanda. The only complex is young kids, when they are born over there, like when I go there, I give a kid a sweet or something, he will thank me in their language before Kinyarwanda. Mm. So they learn Kinyarwanda when they go to school. So Kinyarwanda, it's a language that we all speak, but in their communities, they have some language, some dialects or languages that we speak at home. And then it will take some time for young kids to learn how to communicate at Kinyarwanda. Because even the Kinyarwanda we speak, every region has the way they speak Kinyarwanda, but the academic one is the one from Nduga. We have an academic one, that one we use academically.
Like written-wise.
Written-wise.
Yeah. Well, what does, I guess let's kind of break down what the meaning of Ikinyarwanda. What does Ikinyarwanda mean? Is it the language of Rwanda or the languages of Rwanda?
No, Ikinyarwanda is the language of Rwanda. It's one language. Rwandans speak one language. That's one language. Kinyarwanda is not other... a group of many, because you know, you're not gonna say a Mahavu is another type of Kinyarwanda. No, that's another completely thing. So Kinyarwanda, it's only one language that we all speak, but there's some other dialects or other languages spoken in some regions, and has nothing to do with Kinyarwanda.
Okay, let me ask you about music in general in Rwandan society, Rwandan culture. What role did music play historically? In Rwandan society, was it used for storytelling, for rituals, or for communal gatherings, or all the above?
As I mentioned, like every activity in Rwanda has songs, has music, and then for rituals, actually music was one of the biggest, and then rituals, they were our culture, it's our region, and then they used to have some songs that you do while invoking spirits or while calling on ancestors. All these are music that goes deeper than only music, that connects you to something you think superior. And then I really see that thing superior is in everything. So the music will help you to call energy into everything. If you cultivating, if you just building a house, they have songs they use that brings the energy, connect the real thing to what they'll be doing. So music is a key to ourselves, because I like to say we are spirits experiencing body. We are not only bodies. So our music is also spiritual, something we don't see but we feel. So our music, it's who we are, because into the music. And then we have also a history of keeping our history into songs and the Ibisigo. We didn't have a way to write down our history, but some of the songs contain our history as people, as culture. And then those are the songs that we need to learn so that we can still know the values of ourselves. So the song, the music, doesn't only contain entertainment, it contains education, it contains spirituality, it contains who we are.
Do you ever worry that this music will become extinct one day?
I was afraid before I come to a point of doing it, but when I stepped into the step of doing it, I was like, no, it's not going anywhere. I'm fighting. Then I have some musicians or soldiers of Rwandan music like me. So I feel like we, as our entertainment, like our music sector, is still on the struggle, on the fight of rebuilding itself to the level of other sectors have been rebuilding themselves. And in Rwanda, we had history in which every sector had to recover after the genocide, I guess, in 1994. But music really was coping, but it was not really being itself.
Authentic.
It was not being authentic. So this is the right time for us to revive it. And then I see some other kids have Afro-Gakko as the initiative they're doing. And everything they say, the only idea is to fuse the traditional sound into whatever they're doing. And that's a very good spirit showing that it's not going anywhere. So the archive I'm trying to make is to inhale some of unrecorded sounds just pending in the air. And I'm trying to do my best to make as many as I can, but not by myself. Others also are trying to do the same. But I believe we still have something to archive that our other generations will inherit from.
Yeah. How has the Rwandan music industry reacted to these projects? Do you see contemporary artists, like we're talking about, incorporating some of these traditional elements into their music?
I mean, yeah. I feel like they have been wanting to do it the way also I've been wanting to do it. But you can't do something you don't know. So we don't know how to do it. That's why I took the step to get to people who know how to do it, show us how we do it. That's why all the songs I use only old people. They are all above 50 and 60 who really still have the connection to the old sound. They've been listening to their parents or grandfather or singing. Those are the sounds I'm taking so that we can have, young generation can first have a catalog where they can listen to the Rwandan sound and then know how it's done before they try to do something they have never learned. So I think we're trying to do it, but because they don't have experience and exposure to that, it's not really giving the result we need.
Yeah.
But it's a way. You learn by doing, and you don't need to do it in one step. Just step by step, you're going to do it.
Yeah. Do you envision a second volume or other initiatives to further document some of this Rwandan folkloric music?
I really dedicated myself to this. To the level every year I'll be doing the same. Every year I'll be having an album of the whole Rwanda. And in order to be able to keep the music, to keep it going, and then I dedicated myself to this. So I promise that every year you'll be having a volume like this.
Mm. Okay, and finally, what emotions or messages do you hope that listeners, whether Rwandans or non-Rwandans, especially so Rwandans, take away from this album?
I think it's also recognizing our diversity more than we think. We diverse more than we think. When we think how they thought of Rwandans we are, we think only three groups of people or something. But Rwandans we are really diverse. We are many. We have a rich culture. We have, you know, because also we have been trying to find what is Rwandan food. And then me also have been asking myself, like, what is Rwandan food? But we have a lot of it because every region has the way they eat, the way they cook, you know. So that's the Rwanda we need to know. So in this volume, it's not only music. I'm intending to bring the whole culture, but carried by music so that they can be exposed to Rwandans to track and to know. Because even some people really, I know they're from Rwanda, but they need even to track to know actually where they really are from so that they can still also getting close, connected to the ancestry land before, as we've been looking it for.
That was Wujingo Ndanga Patrick. He's the producer and the curator of the new anthology album, Indanga. And with that, we come to the end of our show today. Many thanks to our guests and to you, our listeners. Remember to connect with us at voaafrica.com. That is our website. We are also on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on YouTube. Just type in VOA Africa and search for our content, both radio and video. Until next time, I'm Jackson Vunganyi, wishing you a great week ahead, Africa. Chica.
Uganda.